SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 17th of June, 2024. The Australian share market fell today. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.3%. We'll have the details soon with Alex Bakulis from Harper Bernays. But first is some economic news out of China, which is slowing. Mixed economic data out today, but a key piece is that of new home prices, down 0.7% in May, the fastest decline in almost 10 years. So for more on China's economy and the implications for Australia, I spoke with HSBC's chief Asia economist in Hong Kong, Frederick Newman. Frederick, thanks for your time. How would you describe China's economy right now?
Well, there are certainly challenges in China. The main drag remains the property market, which is, of course, depressing construction activity, which is a major sector in the economy. But it's also seeping into more restrained consumer spending and spending by local governments, which are responsible for 80% of infrastructure spending. So from that perspective, there's still headwinds for the economy, although it is growing. And our forecast remains around 4.9% for this year, which many economies, of course, will be happy to achieve.
Run us through in more detail about China's property woes. As you mentioned, prices are down for the year. How concerned are economists about China's property sector and the implications around the world, in particular for Australia?
Well, it remains in contraction. So prices are falling. We also see still downside pressure on construction activity as well as sales, for example. And this is a major, major sector for the economy, but some estimates 20 to 25% of GDP is dependent on the property sector. And with no signs of stabilization, there's just continuously dragging down economic activity, not just in real estate, but it's really fanning out into other sectors. Now, when it comes to economies like Australia, Australia has, of course, a lot of direct interest for the export of commodities, particularly iron ore, that's flowing into Chinese property. What we have witnessed, though, is that commodity prices have not adjusted as much downward as the property sector has. So there's a disconnect here between commodity prices and the construction sector in China. And that's because we have a lack of supply for most major commodities worldwide. And that's why commodity prices are staying up, even though China is slowing. And of course, Australia continues to do very well on that front, continue to export record amounts of commodities in terms of volumes and value.
Why do you think we are not seeing more economic stimulus from the Chinese authorities? I know we saw the People's Bank of China today leave a key interest rate on hold. What do you think is behind its thinking?
Well, there's a lot of hesitancy here. One, of course, is that the central bank is somewhat reluctant to cut interest rates because the currency is weak. Remember, if you cut rates further, that would put further downward pressure on the currency. And the dollar has been very strong, the Chinese currency weak, and they don't want to necessarily fan that weakness further. But there's another story here, which is that the Chinese leadership is saying, look, we had a property bubble. It's now deflating. We're not going to throw good money after bad. We're not going to throw more money at the property sector just to get a quick fix, reflation. We're just going to grind through this, and we're going to save the money we would spend on the property sector and just pour it into other sectors like high-tech investment, for example, semiconductors, electric vehicles, because that's the future of the economy and that's what we're going to focus on. So if we're going to grind it out for 2 or 3 years of slower growth, so be it. We can deal with that. And guess what? Again, the economy is not collapsing. There's no mass unemployment. So there's no sense of urgency in Beijing to really do a bazooka-style stimulus.
Would it be fair to say that the next big key market-moving event out of China will be the third plenum next month, I think it's scheduled for? How critical will this be and what's likely to come out of it?
So that's very key. It happens every 5 years, of course. And this is where the medium-term structural reform direction is being unveiled. And what the market wants to hear is market-friendly reforms, for example, something that reassures the private sector, the private sector is still in the driver's seat, but also something on household spending. Remember, that's quite weak. Are there measures that the Chinese policymakers are rolling out to support consumption, for example? Those are going to be the key issues to watch. Having said that, this is about medium-term structural reforms. It's not about unveiling a quick stimulus. So the market may look at this slightly more positive, but it's certainly not going to be a catalyst to increase second-half GDP growth just because of this structural reform meeting. For that, we'll just need to see more of a stimulus package, which is not going to be tied to this particular meeting.
And finally, in wrapping up, how do you see China's role in the region and its relationship with Australia, given its economic story at the moment?
Look, we have a lot of trade tensions, of course, across the world. It's been in the headlines even last week out of Europe. But I would say actually that the Chinese economy remains very central to Asia's economy. Most of the economies in Asia count China as the number one export market, number one trading partner. And so there is a reality here where, yes, at the edges, some economies are struggling with kind of surging imports from China, for example. Trade friction is there. But fundamentally, given the size of the Chinese economy, it's just too important to ignore. It continues to grow actually at a fairly rapid clip. And, you know, the Chinese economy is not going to go away. So better, you know, embrace China, try to deal with competitiveness with China. And I think the relationship will strengthen. And we see particularly now Australia still being economically very much tied to China's fate and will benefit probably if the Chinese economy recovers.
That's Frederick Newman there, HSBC's chief Asia economist based out of Hong Kong.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
The Australian share market did fall today. The S&P ASX 200 off 0.3% to 7,700 points. For more, I spoke with Alex Pakoulis, the CEO of Harper Burnes. Alex, it doesn't seem to be a lot of movement on the broader index today. So what's on the minds of investors at the moment?
Ricardo, look, with global markets at record highs, driven really by a rally in technology, I think there are two key things on investors' minds at the moment. One is the AI opportunity and how much is left in that. As I say, the market rally has really been driven by tech, and you saw Apple up, you know, 10% last week with the launch of Apple Intelligence. So that's really on people's minds. But what's also on people's minds is that concentration within the market. So the top three companies in the S&P 500 in the US now represent 20% of that index, and that's all tech. And then I think the second key thing that's on investors' minds is the slowing consumer versus a very strong jobs market that remains, and that's both in Australia and the US, and what that means for inflation. So there's a real grapple there between those two forces.
So when you look at the market today, which sectors moved?
Yeah, so the market overall down about 0.1%, a touch more. Healthcare and financials were up today, but the laggards were energy was the big one, down around 1%, and materials and real estate were also down.
So you mentioned inflation, so that'll obviously feed through to what the Reserve Bank is thinking. It's meeting today for the first day of its two-day meeting. While no change is expected in interest rates tomorrow, what's the market thinking about future moves?
Yeah, so those thoughts have moved a huge amount over the course of this year. At the beginning of the year, the market was expecting two cuts by December. As of today, less than one cut by December is priced, around two-thirds of a cut is priced by December, and a full cut is only priced by February of next year. So that expectation for the RBA to cut interest rates has really come out of the market.
A lot of focus on China today, given the visit of China Premier Li Qiang. What's the market's view of China's economic recovery and the implications for Australia?
Yeah, so look, the market view around that Chinese recovery story is still quite cautious. There has been stimulus that the Chinese government has been putting into the economy, but it has been measured, and they're still quite protective of maintaining a balance within the economy and not going back to the imbalance that they had years ago of it being incredibly fixed asset driven without much domestic consumption. So they're very intent on continuing that balance, and that's why their stimulus measures have been somewhat muted. There's data actually out today, Ricardo, and they point to the fact the recovery is slow. So property investments down 10% year on year, residential property sales down 30%. So these are big numbers. And industrial production and fixed asset investment also coming in a touch below expectations. On the flip side, retail sales were a bit better. So the stimulus measures starting to have a little bit of an impact, but the market is cautious. And what does it mean for Australia? Well, the key thing is it means, slightly less robust demand for our resources, of which we sell a lot into China. So you did see iron ore futures down today as a result of that slightly weak data.
Any company news out today that you kept an eye on?
Look, limited today on the company front. The key one was that Tabcorp did announce former AFL CEO Gillon McLachlan will be the new CEO of Tabcorp.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors? I mean, you were talking about AI at the top, so I'm wondering if that's going to come up in this part of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think AI is a thematic that isn't going to go away quickly, and it's something that investors need to continue to look at. What we like around the AI thematic is the notion of selling picks and shovels in a gold rush, so the equipment makers and those sorts of plays. So internationally, that's a big area of focus for us, chip makers, data centres, and those types of companies. The other one, which I also mentioned at the beginning, is around the tussle with a strong jobs market, and we talked about the RBA. With interest rates looking like remaining higher for longer, there's a massive opportunity there for savers to take advantage of that, whether that's through something as simple as term deposits or investment grade credit investments where you can get really good returns given the much higher interest rate environment that we're now in.
That's Alex Pakoulis there from Harper Burnett.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.